Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin Samech Gimor and Samech Beis Amud Beis. We are in the third parak of the Masechta, and we're discussing making kinyanim on future events. So this is a topic of Davar Shel Ba'al HaOlam, and in a moment we're going to get to Davar Shel Ba'al HaOlam. But meanwhile, so what did we learn yesterday in the Mishnah? The Mishnah, you're being Mekadosh and Isha, and Achrish is Gair, Achrish is Gairi, after you convert, after I convert, after you're free, after I'm free, after your husband dies, after your sister dies. So yesterday we already commented on how some of these cases over here are wildly indelicate and definitely lack some basic tact. But aside from that, that's obviously not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that these are future events, and you cannot go ahead and create a Kiddushin now on a future event. Now, yesterday, what we also went over is that if it's biyado, if it's something that's totally within your control, so then what you could do is that then you can make a chalos on a future event if it's biyado. Okay, so that biyado now generates the Gemara's terminology. Rashi's explanation is that it's not considered a shinui maisa. In other words, there's nothing changed. Because when something's in your control, we view as if it's something that could have happened immediately. And so therefore, we connect the dots between now and later. But that's only when it's biyado. If it's not biyado, so then it's a davar shel ba'al ha'olam, and you cannot be makish a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. This idea of biyado was expressed by Rabbi Yochanan yesterday. We went over it. We brought raya's for Rabbi Yochanan, and we're going to pick it up right now. Yes, Al Kane. Now, Yes, Al Kane, we did yesterday, but I'm going to start again anyway from Yes, Al Kane, because it's really a new point. Yes, Al Kane is a continuation of the Braitza. The beginning of the Braitza was brought as a siyua, as a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. So go back to yesterday's daf, review yesterday's daf, go over the point of Rabbi Yochanan biyado, see the beginning of the Braitza, how it goes and supports Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, and now today's daf. Today's daf, we're going to start all the way back on yesterday. We're on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud. It's the second word in the line. Yes, Al Kane. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, afilo Amar Peres Arugazu, Tlushin Yuchuma Al Peres Arugazu Mechubaros. Peres arugazu mechubaros yu truma peres arugazu telushim. So what you want to do is that you want to mafresh truma from something that's chayev to something that's pater. When it's connected to the ground, it's pater. When it's detached, it's chayev. Licheh yaviu shlish. And your formulation over here is that when it becomes a shlish, meaning right now it is at such an immature state of development, the fruit under discussion, the grain under discussion, is so immature it has not even yet arrived at a third of its development. And so you're making the statement that this really early point in time, and you say that when it develops the shlish, v'yitalshu, and I pull it out of the ground, so hevishlish v'nitlashu dvarv kayamim. So now, as long as you make that declaration, so then it's going to work. Now this is the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, this is not the opinion of the Tanakhama, and this is not the opinion of Rav Yochanan. This is a divergent position. It's a unique and outstanding position. And what is it predicated on? It's a predicate of Adamakta Davashal Bala Olam. Meaning, if we're talking about where the fruit is on the field, it's just simply not yet detached, and it requires detachment. That's biyado. That's something that's in your control. Is it here? Of course it's here. In other words, it's in the field. It's just connected to the field. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, in contradistinction, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is talking about where the fruit's not even developed yet. The fruit is at such an early stage, it's not even yet developed. So in order for the hafrasha to work, we first have to wait for it to grow. Then and only then can you detach it. So that's something that's not here yet. That's called a davar shel ba'al ha'olam. It is interesting, however, and the Gemara is going to pick up on it right away. In other words, why, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, can't you make the statement even before there's any growth? Meaning, you put seeds in the ground and you make the declaration. These seeds are obviously going to grow, right? Hopefully. Right? And when they do grow, and so then I'm going to be mafresh this onto that. So in other words, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, even though he subscribes to the view of Adam Makne Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam, it can't be that it doesn't exist altogether. There must be at least an early stage, a beginning stage, in order for the transaction to take effect. Okay. And the Gemara now is going to pick up exactly on this point. So according to Rabba, so where must the grain be in terms of its development? It must be at the point of shachas. Shachas means that it's animal fodder, meaning the grains now are pretty much grown. The kernels are not yet fully there. So what am I doing with my stalks? What I'm doing is I'm harvesting them. I'm giving it to my animal. So that's fodder. But if it's at the point of agam, now agam is at an even earlier stage. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm not the land owner, nor am I the land worker. So I can't really articulate and express what these stages look like. But agam is where we're at such an early stage of development. The stalk, you can bend it. In other words, it's such an early stage. So according to Rabba, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would not be happy with agam. In other words, agam is too early a stage. In other words, even though Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is of the position that adam makna davashal abala olam, but the item has to be in existence, at least at an early stage. But according to Rabba, that early stage is shachas, meaning the stalks already have to be at its height, even though the kernels themselves haven't come in yet. But agam is too early a stage. And according to Rav Yosef Amar Afilu ba'agam, Rav Yosef disagrees. And he says, even agam would be acceptable. So the my mashma da agam mashma da butzina hu. And the Gemara says, this language of agam, what exactly does that mean? Butzilna means it's so soft. You can go ahead and you can bend it. So Amar Abelaz Amar Kra halachof kagmon rosho. Gemara quotes the pasuk Yishayahu. Pasuk Yishayahu describes that the agmon is something which is bendable. Anyway, so keman
asla. Rabbi, forgive me for interrupting. Where are you up to?
We're on Samach Beis Amud Beis. We are 10 lines from the bottom.
Thank you.
So keman asla hadid na omer lechaveri mialda ishtecha nekeva mekudeshes li lo amar klum. So now, what are we going to do with the following? And that is a Mishnah. Now it's either a Mishnah or it's a Braisa. You go back to yesterday's daf, and you go back to the Mishnah yesterday. You'll notice I didn't read it at the end of the Mishnah because it probably isn't a Mishnah. It probably is a Braisa, regardless. Okay. In other words, the only thing that we're just not totally clear about is which Tanaitic school it belongs to. Mishnayos, Braisos, either way. So, come on, Azla, hadit Tanya or Nan. Ha'om lechaverim yalda yishtecha nekeva mekudeshos li lo amar klum. So, we're going to start off with the following. Okay, a strange proposition, and that is that, look, your wife is pregnant, mazel tov. And if it's a girl, so I want to be mekadesh her. All right, and you're having this conversation with the father. So lo amar klum, so at that point in time now, it doesn't have any effect whatsoever. Now, ve'amar Rabbi Chanina lo shanu ala shein ishtam u'baris, ava ishtam u'baris v'av kayamim. Now, Rabbi Chanina says that that's only true if the wife is not pregnant. So in other words, according to Rabbi Chanina, we're going to go back and we're going to describe it somewhat differently than the way I originally described it. According to Rabbi Chanina, if you're going over to a couple and you say, when you're pregnant and when you have a girl, I'm going to be mekadesh you, and I have to admit, as discussions go, that has got to be one of the strangest discussions out there. But it doesn't matter. In other words, we're not here to grade how strange the discussion is. We want to know, halachically, does it work? So no. However, according to Rabbi Chanina, in his understanding of this braisa, is that if the wife is pregnant and the father agrees, dvarv kayamin. It's a transaction. So Kaman, so the Gemara says, now, this braisa that we just learned together, it's a davar shelo bala olam, right? We couldn't say it any clearer. It's obvious. The baby's not here yet. In other words, the baby's in utero. The baby's just developing. And yet dvarv kayamin. Okay, so this clearly is not the conventional thinking of Eina Damakna Davar Shelo Bala Olam, but this fits in with the more unconventional thinking of Adamakna Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Now, there are a group of Tanaim who subscribe to this viewpoint, a select group. In fact, in just a few minutes from now, we're going to introduce ourselves to every member of this group who subscribes to Adamakna Davar Shelo Bala Olam. But meanwhile, we know that predominantly, who subscribes to this idea? It's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. We just introduced ourselves to him. Now, he says that as far as the truma is concerned, so what stage does it have to be in? It was a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. What stage does it have to be in? Does it have to, the stalks have to be fully grown, even though the kernels are not there yet on the stalks, or even if the stalks are not even fully grown at all? In other words, so soft and supple you can bend it. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to take this machlokas amarayim, and now we're going to translate that over to a pregnant woman. Oh. Right. So
the seeds. So why do you have to be even the agam? Even the seeds?
According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it's too early. Now why?
If you do according to the, she's not giving birth yet.
Right, so in other words, according to Rabbi Chanina, she has to be pregnant. So you see that Rabbi Chanina is subscribing to this school of thought that there has to be something there. There has to be something there. Now, Ikaraba Kishahuka Ubra. Now, if I'm going to align this with Rabbi's interpretation of Elazar ben Yaakov, so what do I need? I need her not only to be pregnant, but pregnant and showing. Right. Pregnant and showing is going to be comparable to Shachas. Now again, by the way, if we all saw Shachas and saw what it looked like, so for us the comps would be a good comp. In other words, we would understand a lot better. I'm speaking for myself, obviously. But I get the general idea of the Gemara. Meaning, according to Rabbi, it has to be more than just, in other words, something that is latent and just started developing. It has to be something that is slightly more developed. Okay, by the growth it's called Shachas, and by a woman it's called Hukra Ubra. Okay. Now, if I subscribe to Ika Rav Yosef, so Afapi Shaloka Ubra. Now, according to Rav Yosef, what do we say? We said Agam. Agam now is you start to see the stalks growing from the ground, and it's just at the very beginning, right? It's such an early stage that you can even bend the stalk. In other words, it's really, really early on. And now if I were to take that and I move that over to a pregnant woman, so how would that translate by a pregnant woman? So what it would look like by a pregnant woman, it would be basically, she's pregnant. In other words, she's not showing yet. Okay, she knows she's pregnant. Good. Right, obviously, even in those days, right, her understanding of her pregnancy is going to take place well before Huka Ubra, well before the 3 months of where the baby's actually showing. Now, Ikadarmi, another Gemara says, in another version of how this played out, Amar Rabbala, Amar Rabbala Zabin Yaakov, Ella, B'shachas Debe Kivsha, Aval Shachas Debe Shakya, Solo. And Rav Yosef Amar Afil B'Shachas Debe Shakya. Okay, so over here now in the second version of Rabbi and Rav Yosef debating, deliberating when exactly Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that the Hafrasha works. So they both agree that it's Shachas. So the and it's just a question of what kind of Shachas. Shachas Debe Kivsha versus Shachas Debe Shakya. And if you look at Rashi over here, so it's just a question of how much watering and irrigation is necessary. So Keman Azla Hadidna now. Over here, they both have a shachas requirement, just a shachas based on what kind of irrigated field. But now what we're going to do is kaman azla hadinan haomel chavero im yalda ishtacha nekeva mekadesh asli lamer klum ve'amar bechanina lo shenu ala sheni shamu ubaris aval yishamu ubaris varv kayamim. So let's reintroduce the brisa again. Remember, this is version number 2. We're going to do the same thing that we did in version number 1, but with the updated viewpoints. So now we have the Braisa. The Braisa introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Chanina. According to Rabbi Chanina, as long as she's pregnant, the Kedushin is going to be Chal. And so, come on, Kishahuka Ubra, Kedivar Akol. So now over here, remember, in version number 2, they both require that the grain get to the point of Shachas, which means that Agam is unacceptable. Agam is too early a stage in its development. So you need Shachas. So now in version number 2, so where does a woman need to be in pregnancy in order for the Kedushin to be Chal? So she needs to be hukar ubra. Now the baby has to be showing. In other words, she has to be 3 months into the pregnancy. Okay. If all that wasn't confusing, I know it was a little bit confusing. If all that wasn't confusing, here's the upshot. Most tanaim are of the position that eina demakna davar shelo bala olam. That's most tanaim. There's a select number of tanaim who fundamentally disagree that a person can make a kinyan on a davar shelo bala olam. Included in the select number of Tanaim is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says that regarding Hafrashas Truma, in the case of Hafrashas Truma, I'm going to be mafresh on grain that is not yet fully developed. On grain that was not only developed, but harvested. And I could do a Hafrash on one onto the other. And how does that work? Because it's a davar shebal la'olam, meaning give it some time and it's going to come into this world. How underdeveloped is it? Are we talking about? So that's what we just litigated for the last 10 minutes. Rabba, Rav Yosef, version number 1, version number 2. Now, and within that machlokas, striking a comparison to a pregnant woman. Okay. Mind you, and this is just important in terms of basic understanding, meaning if you if you subscribe to Ein Adam Machna Davar Shelo Ba'Olam, you will be ignoring the last 10 minutes of discussion. Meaning, the only way that you could do a hafrasha, the only way you could be mekadesh a girl is only after she's born. Right. That's so. In other words, this entire discussion that we have for the last 10 minutes, if you are of quote-unquote mainstream thinking, that Ein Adam Machna Davar Shelo Ba'Olam, so then ignore that what we did for the last 10 minutes. Okay, so who's of the select group? I'm happy you asked. I'm Rabbi Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe Meir, Kulu Svir Luhu, Adamakna Davar Shelo Ba'Olam. Okay, so it's a really select group. It's Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it's Rebbe, and it's Rebbe Meir. Okay, so you're talking about a group of three. As a very small select group. However, they're of the position that Adamakna Davar Shelo Ba'Olam. Now, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Adamaran. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so see the last 10 minutes of our daf? Good. That we've done. Now Rebbe D'Tanyo, now what about Rebbe? Where do we see Rebbe that a person can be Machna Davar Shelo Ba'Olam? Because of the following, we're going to start off first with a pasuk in Chumash, Lo Zaskir Eved El Adonav. Okay, we are on the very top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The pasuk that we just cited is at the end of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Kiseitse. Not the very end, but Parshas Kiseitse, where the Torah says, don't return the Eved back to his owner. Okay, so first of all, who's the Torah addressing? Look at the top Rashi over here. I'd like to highlight it. Lo Zazgir, Azhar LeBezdin. So this Isser in the Torah is going on Bezdin. Okay, I made this point before, but it's worthwhile to make again. It's just such a great way to think about mitzvahs of the Torah. Right? Many of the mitzvahs of the Torah, most of the mitzvahs of the Torah are privatized mitzvahs, individualized mitzvahs. Right? That apply to me and you. The taking of Dalam Minim HaSukkah. So who is that mitzvah for? You and I. In other words, that's an individualized mitzvah where you and I are required, obligated to go ahead and acquire for ourselves the four species and shake them in sukkahs. Good. There are, however, a select number of mitzvahs of the Torah that are not privatized mitzvahs, but rather are applicable to institutions. Right? The idea that you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's for me to do? No, that's for the king to do. The melech has the obligation to do that, right? According to the Rambam, Mechias HaMalek, right? Whose mitzvah is that? Is that my mitzvah? No, according to the Rambam. And what seems to be most Rishonim. It's a mitzvah on the melech. It's the king's responsibility to do that. So there are a number of mitzvahs that don't apply to individuals and private citizen, but rather apply to institutions. Rashi over here says that this azhara is for Beis Din. Meaning, Beis Din has a Isser in the Torah where they're not allowed to take a Eved and return it back to his owner. Oh, wait one second. Wait. If the Eved is owned by somebody, why wouldn't Beis Din be allowed to return him to his owner? In fact, you would think that Beis Din should return him to his owner. Okay, good. So I set ourselves up for the upcoming Gemara. How do you interpret this pasuk in the Torah? It's a simple question. So, the Rebbe D'Tanya, so we are now on the very top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So Laos Askir Eved El Adona Rebbe Omer Belokech Eved Amnas V'Shachro Hakasav Medaber. Now, so according to Rebbe, we're talking about where what happened was is that someone purchased an Eved in order to free him. So Hey Chidame, the Gemara says, now what? What exactly happened? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kagon the Kasav Lei Leche She'ekachecha Harei Atzmecha Kanu Lach Me'achshav. Basically, here's what happened. I don't know the backstory. There is a backstory. Whatever the backstory is, you made the following transaction and condition in the transaction. When I go ahead and purchase you, meaning I don't owe you yet, but when I go ahead and purchase you, that will immediately release you. You will have immediate release and emancipation when I go and purchase you. Now, you can't free him now. You don't own him now. Obviously, Rebbe's of the position that you can make a kinyan on a davar shelo ba'olam. Even though you don't own him yet, you could make such a stipulation on your purchase. It hasn't occurred yet? Perfect. Exactly. Adam makna davar shelo ba'olam. And so therefore, you could do such a transaction. So now what's going to happen based on your stipulation is that you bought the Eved Kenani, and because of your stipulation, that means that he immediately goes free. And now, as he's running away, has now gained his emancipation. Now the Torah says to Beis Din, you see that Eved over there? Lo zasker Eved el Adonav. Don't return him to his owner as he's a freed person. Okay, that's Rebbe's interpretation. that there are other interpretations to that pasuk. For now, for today, we're only citing Rebbe's because we're just noting that Rebbe can only offer such an interpretation because he holds Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'al Olam. Next. So, and Rebbe Meir. And finally, last and not least, is Rebbe Meir. And that is, he also subscribes to this idea of Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'al Olam. How do I know that? D'tanya. So, Eino Mekudeshes, Rabbi Meir Omer Mekudeshes. Now, all this should sound unbelievably familiar because these are all the cases that we did in yesterday's Mishnah. Now, we all know what our Mishnah said yesterday, and that is that the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. We all know why. Because right now, you're not in a position where it can happen. It's a davar shelo bala olam. Therefore, right now, currently, you can't make such an effect. You can't make a transaction. So what did we just learn? Nothing new except for Rebbe Meir. Meaning here, this is a brisa, it's not the Mishnah. And in the brisa, we're introduced to Shita Rebbe Meir, where Rebbe Meir says that in all these cases, it works. So I'm just plucking out one example of the many cases that we just went over. I know I didn't translate all of them. Go back to yesterday's daf. We did the Mishnah. We went through all of them. But just one example. Let's say he is not yet a ger. She's a Jew and he's not yet a ger. And he gives her the Kesef Kedushin right now. And he says that the Kesef Kedushin should be Chal when I convert. As we already pointed out yesterday, this is not a case of Biyado. This is a Davar Shel Ba'al Olam. And so we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. And what happens after he converts? After he converts, if he wants to marry her, he's going to have to give her Kesef Kedushin anew. That's what we learned yesterday. Now, all we're just doing is that we're pointing out Rav Meir disagrees. Because Rav Meir is of the position that Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'al Olam. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the Kedushin will be Chal. Obviously, not now while you're not Jewish. But in other words, after you convert, now it's going to kick in. It's a Davar Shel Ba'al Olam, it's going to kick in. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer. So, this is a continuation of the Brisa, meaning basically everything I just said, good. Right? In terms of, we've now introduced ourselves to the three Tanaim who hold that Adam Machna Davar Shel Ba'al Olam, but this is just a Hemshech of the Brisa. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer Einu Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer Mekudeshes, Umatam Amar Einu Mekudeshes Mishum Eva. Okay, so the... over here, the Brisa just continues with listing other Tanaim who have opinions on this matter. According to Rav Yochanan Sandler, the Kedushin is no good, and according to Rebbe, it's good. However, there is an Eva consideration. Now, I kind of alluded to the Eva consideration yesterday, but it's so intuitive, it's so obvious, right? One of the examples is that the Kedushin will be Chal, but in other words, after your sister dies. In other words, currently I'm married to your sister. Okay, right? So uncomfortable, so dysfunctional, that you are now making a proposition to your wife's sister, right, and that when your wife dies, so the Kedushin will be Chal. As you can imagine, it's probably not going to do well for the marriage. Okay. As guesses go, by the way, it's one of my best guesses that I have out there. And Rabbi's position is, yeah, that's right. So because of the Yeva consideration, so therefore we're going to say that the Kedushin is not going to be Chal, even though the point is that Rabbi says, fundamentally, I will tell you the Kedushin is good, but I'm going to strike the Kedushin simply because of a concern of Eva. Okay. So now the Gemara of Anichshav of Nami Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, Heinu Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Okay, the Gemara quickly asks and answers. I don't understand. It was a list of three. One of the three was Rebbe. We just learned the Brisa together. The Brisa also had Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. That's the question. The answer is very obvious. In fact, not even sure what the Hava mina was, but the answer is, do you know who Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is? Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is Rebbe. They're one and the same person. So we didn't introduce ourselves to a new group, new member of the Davar, Adam Machna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam group. Okay, they need a better name, that group. I need to give them a better name. Okay, V'nechshav Nami, so here we go. So we have now listed all the members of the group of Adam Machna Davar Shelo Ba'al Olam. Rebbe Meir, Rebbe, and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Perfect. Period. I say period, and the Gemara wants to maybe introduce one more member to the group. So V'nechshav Nami Rebbe Akiva. What about Rebbe Akiva? Tanya Konim Shani Ose Leficha. So Ein Tzarech Lahafir. So let's say the woman makes a neder. That's it. I've been working hard. and my Maisa Yadayim, I'm tired of giving it to you. Okay. Rachmanis, by the way, this marriage does not sound like the healthiest of marriages. But anyway, she's like, that's it. And she makes a neder. And that neder is that all my Maisa Yadayim should be konam, should be usher to you via neder. Now, at that point in time, halachically, he shrugs his shoulders and he says, you know what? You have a shibud. In other words, part of the marriage contract is, right, we've gone over this time and again. We're towards the end of Seder Nashim. So the marriage contract goes in both directions. His responsibility is to her. Her responsibility is to him. So one of her responsibilities to him is Maisi Adayim. She has a shibud. So therefore, he doesn't have to even be made for the neder, because her neder doesn't take effect at all. Good. This is a point, by the way, we've gone over this before. This is great chazara. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yafir Shematadif Alav Yosem and Arayilo. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, you know what? He should be made for such neder. Why? Because, look, she does have to work and she does have to provide her earnings over to him. However, it's capped in terms of how much she needs to give to him. The Gemara Ksuvos goes over the amounts. Okay, as if we could relate to those, to the dollar figures that were used back in the time. But anyway, there is a capped amount that she needs to do for him. Now, it could be that she puts in a really hard week's worth of work. And it could very well be that she's going to be making more hadafa. And now, so the husband should be made for the neder because of the hadafa. Now, this is all going on things that are not currently here, things that are going to be here in the future. And Rabbi Akiva says he needs to be made for the neder, even though her neder is going on future earnings. Rabbi Kiva should now join the group, right? So the Gemara says, no, he shouldn't. So, hey, Marlam, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, excuse me, Be'omer Tikachu Yadela Osehem, V'yadayim Isnehu Ba'olam. So well, we gave this interpretation back in Adarim. I bet you we did it back in Ksufis as well. Anyway, the way to understand her neder is not going on her earnings. Her neder is going on her hands. Whatever my hands are producing should be usher to you. The hands are currently here, and so therefore it's not a davar shelo bala olam. Okay, next. We're on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We are now at the Mishnah. Ha'om re'li isha re'ad mekudesh osli amenash ha'deber alach l'shulton ha'asa imach kepoa. V'diber ala l'shulton v'asa imach kepoa mekudesh osli amenash ha'deber alach l'shulton. Okay. So over here, he's mekadesh her with the understanding that what happens? I need to speak to a political figure. In other words, you need something to get done. Oh, you okay? Fine. I'll speak to him. I'll speak to the shilton. You want me to work for you? I'll work for you. So the kedushin would be a valid kedushin. Now, the kedushin was created by the services that he provided. Alternatively, these are just simply conditions. And really, the kedushin is created by the money that he gave her, even though the Mishnah did not make mention of the money. And what did I just introduce? The upcoming machlokus. Amr Reish Lakish v'hushin nasan la shava pruta. So Reish Lakish says, I'm going to go with the latter interpretation. In other words, these are just conditions. And the truth of the matter is, the kedushin is being affected by, it's being generated by the money that he gives her. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. I know it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. But in other words, but the kedushin needs money. It needs a pruta. So the kedushin's done via the pruta. It just happens to be that there's a condition set forth. And as long as he fulfills the condition, marriage is good. Uvizchar lo. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Are you saying that you can't be mekadesh using wages of services? I thought you could. V'hatanya vizchar shehir kavticha alachamor shehosh kavticha bikaron o bisvina eno mikudeshes vizchar shehar kivech alachamor shehosh shivech. Bikaron o bisvina mikudeshes. Okay, so if you gave her the Uber ride already, giving a modern version, you gave her the Uber ride already, and you're like, oh, you owe me the money. Okay, let's turn that into kesef kedushin, right? In other words, he was taken by his passenger. So so that's not going to work. However, if they negotiate, in other words, she gets the Uber, and he's there. And right away, he knows, this is my life partner. And so now, for the Uber ride, I'm going to be Mekadesh you. That's going to work. Okay, good. So over here, V'chite ma'achanami b'di'ayv le'shev ha'pruta v'ha'b'schar kamar. And don't tell me that there was a pruta exchange because it's clear over here in this Braisa, Bischar. In other words, that the Kesef Kedushin is going to be the wages. So the Gemara says, V'otanya. And the Gemara says, and I'm going to give you other examples as well. Shevi mi b'tzavsa, a kadish lach, schok lefanai, rakod lefanai, asa kedimus azeh, shaman. Im yesh moshev, aputa magdeshes, v'yam lavin im kudeshes. Simple services. Okay, just keep me company. Okay? In other words, that's, that, right? People pay for that. Simple company. Or make me laugh, dance in front of me. In other words, entertain me. Okay, or also kedimuzeh. So the make for me some sort of building. Anyway, whatever the services are. In other words, as long as the service has value, and as long as the value is greater than a pruta, the kedushin is going to be a valid kedushin. V'chitim ha'chanam ebediyav leishav a pruta v'ashaminoso ka'amar v'tiyufta d'reish lakish. So over here, again, don't for a second suggest that you gave a pruta, because it says shaman. We're going to evaluate the value of those services provided. As long as so far as services are exceeding a pruta, so then kedushin is going to be chal. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta Deresh Lakish. You can be Mekadesh with wages. So Amlecha Resh Lakish, Hai Tana Bura. So Savarin is Schiris Allah Besof, and Tani Dinan Savar Yeshal is Schiris Mitzchil of Yad Sof. So, and what Resh Lakish will tell you in his defense is the following. Look, here's a machlokis we're going to hear numerous times throughout Shas. In fact, earlier in Kedushin, we already heard this. How do wages accrue? It's a really interesting question, which we already touched on before, and we're going to hit again. And that is, are wages incremental? In other words, I work for a week. I get paid for the week. I get paid at the end of the week. In other words, for my services that I provide on Sunday, now, basically, can I now bill and invoice my employer? Although, again, because we contracted, he doesn't have to pay me until the end of the week. But in other words, but it is something that's due to me. It's owed to me. Alternatively, and that's, I'm sorry, before we get to the alternative. And that's what's called Yesh L'Schirus Mitchila V'Yatzof. The alternative way to look at wages is that if we contract that I'm getting paid at the end of the week, my employer only owes me the money at the end of the week. Obviously, it's going to be the same dollar amount, but in other words, when the obligation kicks in is only at the end of the week. Ah. So now, and that's what's called Ein L'Schirus Ela L'Besof. And now what Reish Lakish will tell you is the following. This is going to make a world of difference by Kedushin. We know that you cannot be Mekadesh using debt. We've established it in the beginning of the Masechta. We went over it in the middle of the Masechta, and we're reminding ourselves again right now. You cannot be Mekadesh with debt. So if services are provided, and the way that wages are done is via accruing over the course of time, so now, by the end of the week, what is that called? Or by the end of the services, what is that called? It's called debt. And you can't be Mekadesh with debt. On the other hand, if the only way wages accrue is only at the end, and they don't accrue, so then that means then that you're being Mekadesh with a value that you're providing right now. It's not debt. So Reish Lakish will tell you the following. Every time you're hearing a Braisa that says you could be Mekadesh with wages, what they're subscribing to, Ein L'Schiris Ela B'Sof. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, subscribes to the view of Ein L'Schiris, Yesh L'Schiris Mitchila V'Ad Sof. And so therefore it's debt, and therefore you can't be Mekadesh with wages. So, and Umay Duchel L'Reish Lakish L'Okim L'Ela Masis and B'Yesh L'Schiris Mitchila V'Ad Sof and B'Diyahiv La. What forced Reish Lakish into that position? Meaning, that's saying a lot in our Mishnah, something was driving him to say that. So the Gemara says, sure, I'll tell you what. So I'm a Rav Masis and Kashise. My year the ni amanas and stibishar. El Shmamina call amanas hechdiyav lehu. The amanas was a giveaway. Meaning, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, you read carefully the Mishnah, right? Hare at mekudeshesli al menas. So the amanas is really like a telltale sign of saying that really this was all conditions. And the actual kedushin was the pruta that you gave her. Okay. Amanas yirtza abba ratza ha'ab mekudeshes v'yimlav v'nim mekudeshes. Meisa av harei mekudeshes, meisa ben, malam de ma'av lomar she'ena rotze. Okay. Here we are in the next mission. We're in the very bottom of Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. And that is, our Mishnah gives various cases where the Tanaim were agreement and acquiescence on the part of dad. Right? So in other words, a man goes over to a woman and says, I'm going to be Mekadosh you, but only on the condition that dad approves. Again, just if I may offer advice, maybe you should go ask dad first. But regardless of what should be done. So over here, that's the condition set forth. So the Mishnah tells us, so if the father agrees, the kedushin's good. Condition's been fulfilled. If the father does not agree, so then the kedushin's not good. Pretty straightforward first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah now, what happens in the event that we set the condition of dad's agreement, but Rachmanus dad died before we found out what he said. So then, Harezem Mekudeshes, the condition is going to be a valid condition.
No.
Huh?
There is no agreement. If the dad died, there is no agreement, right?
We don't. In other words, you made a condition that the condition is only going to be valid if dad agrees.
Right. So, but if he died before he approved it, there's no.
That's
right?
That's what the mission now is addressing. What happens if he died before we got to find out what he said? That's exactly what the mission is addressing. So the mission tells us Harezem Mekudeshes. So the kedushin is going to be a valid kedushin. We're going to discuss that in more detail. So Mesa Ben, so Malam Dema Abla Moshe Nerosa. So now Rachmanis, let's say the son dies. So then what we should instruct the father to do is basically say, Enerosa, you don't want it. And the reason why we want to instruct him to do so is so that the kedushin will not take a place at all, and it will not put her in the uncomfortable position of Yibum. Okay, so Maya Manashi Yirtza Abba. Okay, what does dad's consent look like? Simple question. So Ilem Ada Amar Abba in. So maybe what consent looks like is dad says I approve, meaning a verbal declaration of approval. So I'm a mitziasa Mesa Av. So I raise the Mekudeshes V'Alo Amar Av in. Now that can't be because when dad died and we don't know what his whether he consented or not, what do we say? The condition's good. How could that possibly be? In other words, if consent looks like dad saying, I approve, and Rachmanis, the father, died in the second case of the Mishnah, and we don't know what he said, how could we just assume that dad approved? In other words, we didn't hear it from him. So Ella, so the Gemara says it must be the following. As we are in the Amud Beis, Amenashi Yishtok Abba. Oh, so you know what approval must be? You know what consent looks like? We tell dad and he says nothing. I like it, like a real old-fashioned father. Okay, in other words, he doesn't talk. and how do I know that dad is approval and he's happy? He doesn't say a thing. Oh, I love it. Really old school. Amenashi Yishtok Abba. So fine, so Ema Seifa, so the Gemara says, that's fine. And now it fits in well with the first case of the Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah. But then we move on to the third case of the Mishnah, which is Rachmanus Mesa Ben, the son dies. So Malam de Mesa Avlomar in a roadstep. Amai Vashal Sekna. Now, at that point in time, in order to avoid Yibum and Zika, so we're going to now tell dad, you know what you should do at this point in time? You should say, Eina Rotsa, I don't want it. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We just set the definition of consent to where we told dad, and he was quiet. That's what we just said it. That was in the first case of the Mishnah, second case of the Mishnah. Now in the third case of the Mishnah, you told him. He didn't respond. We set that now as consent. That's problematic. So Ella Amra Amanash lo yimcha Abba. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we mean to say is that dad didn't protest. So Reisha bechad taima v'mitziyasa. I'm sorry, v'mitziyasa v'sefa bechad taima. So the Gemara says, really? So now what we just did is that we shifted the definitions of consent in the first case of the Mishnah versus cases 2 and 3 in the Mishnah. Now we needed to do that so that all the cases work out. But you can't just simply shift the definition of consent. So I'm Rabbi Yannai in, and Rabbi Yannai says, yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do. So I'm Reish Lakish Shmami Namadu Rabbi Yannai Dachina Makmina Masis betray Taima Aliba Dechatana Velo Makmina betray Tanai Uvechat Taima. And in general, a philosophy of how to learn Mishnayos. And that is that when you're learning a Mishnah, even though you're going to be stretching definitions, I'd rather stretch definitions than stretch Tanayim. Meaning, taking one Mishnah and giving disparate, different definitions of what consent looks like, I know. In other words, it's not a consistent definition. I know. We're stretching the definition. I got it. But better to do that than to just simply assign and ascribe, well, the first part of the Mishnah is going like this Tana. And the next part of the Mishnah, well, it's going like that Tana. Now, mind you, by the way, for those who have been around in the Daf long enough, you know, we do that all the time. Meaning in a Mishnah, well, the first part's going like him, the second part's going like him. The Gemara's point, Reish Lakish's point is that if there's an option to go ahead and to give multiple definitions to a Mishnah and keep it consistently with one Tana, we'd rather do that. Rav Yosef bar Ami Amar la'olam chataymahu umay amana shirtza abba amana shaloyim chaba mikan v'ashoshim yom. Rav Yosef says, you know what I can do, or at least what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to give one definition of what consent is. Consent is that Dan has a 30-day window in which he doesn't protest. That's what consent looks like. So in other words, we told Dad, and we're going to give him 30 days to think about it. And if he wants to protest, he can within those 30 days. And if he does that, that'll uproot the Kedushin. Now what you could do is you could take that definition and you can plug it into cases 1, 2, and 3 of the Mishnah. It would work in all three cases of the Mishnah. Okay, think it through.
So the Kedushin is going to take on 30 days later.
Right, correct. And I was thinking Ben's point as well. And that is that the condition only will be borne out 30 days after your Mekadisher. Correct. But in other words, but you could do, once you say this, it will fit into all three cases of the Mishnah, and good. In other words, and that'll work out better in terms of conforming and fitting into the Mishnah. Okay, good. We're up to the Mishnah on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to stop over here. We're going to pause over here. And tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah. Okay, we had two big discussions for today. Number one, the discussion of Ad the Machna Davar Shel Abba La'olam, a select group of Tanaim who subscribe to that viewpoint. So we introduced ourselves to that select group, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rebbe Meir, Rebbe. Okay, we thought maybe Rebbe Akiva. The Gemara sidestepped that. The Gemara said no. I understand he looks that way, but he's not. He's not part of the group. That's number one. And number two is then on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, right? Right. In other words, there were two more.
Doesn't Halacha follow Rabbi Yochanan Sandler usually because he's like very rare, but when he says something,
Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right?
No, he's a Naki, but Sandler also, no?
Oh, I don't remember. Okay? I don't remember. Okay, so and then the next big sugya that we did today in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph is to be Mekadesh with wages. Can you do that? So as long as you subscribe to Ein L'Schiras Ela L'Besof, and as long as you are contracting before the services were rendered, then the answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then finally, the Amanashir Tza'aba. What if we're attaching the Kedushin with the condition of Dad's consent? So then the Kedushin is in fact attached to Dad's consent. And then the only thing left outstanding is what does that look like? What does that sound like? And that's what we discussed for the last 10 minutes.